Beitar was dedicated to several principles, among them preparing young men to fight, learning military discipline, as well as to hadar, a word that, as Jabotinsky himself noted, was difficult to translate from the Hebrew, but perhaps we can define it as proud Jewish dignity. Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 176. Beitar, I'm Meir Soloveitchik. In May of 1948, upon emerging from hiding after Israel's declaration of independence, Menachem Begin spoke to his fellow Irgun fighters, reflecting on the meaning of the moment and the war that was to follow. Some of the final words of his speech included the following, quote, "The outcome of the battle shall decide our fate and future. We shall go on our way into battle, soldiers of the Lord of Hosts, inspired by the spirit of our ancient heroes, from the conquerors of Canaan to the rebels of Judah. We shall be accompanied by the spirit of those who revived our nation, Zev Benjamin Herzl, Max Nordau, Joseph Trumpeldor, and the father of resurrected Hebrew heroism, Zev Jabotinsky. We shall be accompanied by the spirit of David Raziel, greatest of the Hebrew commanders of our day, and by Dov Gruner, one of the greatest of Hebrew soldiers. We shall be accompanied into battle by the spirit of the heroes of the gallows, the conquerors of death. And we shall be accompanied by the spirit of millions of our martyrs, our ancestors tortured and burned for their faith, our murdered fathers and butchered mothers, our murdered brothers and strangled children. And in this battle, we shall break the enemy and bring salvation to our people, tried in the furnace of persecution, thirsting only for freedom, for righteousness, and for justice." End quote. The theme of Begin's words here is memory. He is essentially saying that for Jews, those that came before are alive to us. They march with us. They serve with us in a righteous cause. Begin at this moment remembers and feels the presence of the murdered Jews of Europe, as well as the martyrs of the Jewish past. And it is noteworthy which Jews Begin mentioned by name. Aside from the early Zionist leaders, he spoke of Vladimir Jabotinsky, the leader of the Zionist faction that he joined, the man who changed his life, as well as David Raziel, a leader of the Irgun, and Dov Gruner, a soldier of the Irgun. These are names we will meet more than once in future episodes. But then there is another name, Joseph or Yosef Trumpeldor. It is this man whose name was linked forever to a youth organization that Begin would join as a young man, an organization that would forge him, that would change his life. This organization was known as Beitar, founded by Jabotinsky, and it was, rightly understood, one of the most important youth movements in Jewish history, one that is important to understand for the continuation of our story. In order to set the stage for the rise of Jabotinsky's influence in the 1920s and 30s, we must first focus on two events in 1920 that would loom large in Jabotinsky's mind as he sought to forge the future of Zionism. The first was the Battle of Tel Chai in early 1920, when 8 Jewish defenders of an agricultural settlement in the Galilee died defending it from an Arab attack. One of these men was a remarkable individual who had served with Jabotinsky in the First World War, a man whose name was Yosef Trumpeldor. Trumpeldor's last words famously were Tov Lamut Ba'ad Arzenu, it is good to be able to die for our land. The second event was one mentioned in our previous episode, also in 1920, when Haji Amin al-Husseini, the brother of the then Mufti of Jerusalem, incited a violent mob against the Jews of Jerusalem, and Jabotinsky was imprisoned for organizing defense against the attack. It was after this that Herbert Samuel was appointed as High Commissioner to British Mandate Palestine. He ordered Jabotinsky released, but he pardoned al-Husseini, and then, in an act that shocked Zionist leaders, apparently seeking to harness al-Husseini's influence, Herbert Samuel appointed him as the next Mufti of Jerusalem. It was a terrible mistake, one which we will see refract in part of Jerusalem's story that we will be telling. Sean Derns writes the following in Mosaic about the British mistake in appointing the Mufti. Quote, "He used the position to undermine their interests and fight Zionism, and he betrayed Britain twice, once to France and once to Germany. No one can know what might have happened if Samuel had cultivated a pro-British Palestinian leader who might have sought accommodation with the Jews. But there is no doubt that Husseini proved to be a poor investment." End quote. In the face of these events, Jabotinsky, a young Zionist leader and journalist, came to the conclusion that the Zionist leadership at the time was not adequately preparing for the challenges that lay ahead, militarily and politically. Avi Shilon, in his biography of Menachem Begin, gives us the background to Jabotinsky's own political vision. Writing about the World Zionist Organization, or WZO, Shilon tells us, quote, The WZO was founded at the first Zionist Congress by Theodor Herzl as an umbrella organization for all the Zionist movements. Its main goal was the creation of a national home for the Jewish people in Palestine. For the period we are discussing, the WZO was headed by Chaim Weizmann. Jabotinsky founded the Revisionist Party, called the Alliance of Revisionist Zionists, Hatzohar, in 1925. Beitar, its youth movement, was established in 1923. Jabotinsky had differences of opinion with Weizmann and the labor parties on several issues. He demanded the foundation of an overtly military Jewish force in Palestine. He criticized Weizmann's political cooperation with the British. He asked that more aggressive demands be made to the British mandate. He claimed that the British had not helped the Jews build their national home as they had promised in the Balfour Declaration in 1917, and he strived to change the official goal of the WZO from the building of, quote-unquote, a national homeland, which he considered an ambiguous term, to the clear objective of building, quote-unquote, a Jewish state. Eventually, in 1935, Jabotinsky and his party left the WZO because of the differences, end quote. So Shilon writes, it is worthwhile in this context to cite another passage from Shilon's writings, which will give greater background to the division between Jabotinsky on the one hand and Weizmann and Ben-Gurion on the other. And it is this rivalry between Zionist factions that will feature in so much of our story over the next several decades. Quote, in the 1920s and 30s, Weizmann had established an enduring alliance with the labor Zionist movement, and especially with David Ben-Gurion, who had also become the de facto leader of the Yishuv. Jabotinsky, meanwhile, developed his critique of the fusion of Zionism and socialism with the principle of one flag, Chad Nes, channeling all efforts toward the national objective without raising the additional flag of socialism. While Ben-Gurion believed that the socialist dimension was critical for the national enterprise because it subordinates private interests to communal concerns, Jabotinsky thought that class-based aspirations undermine the national effort because they portend an internal battle between the proletariat and the bourgeoisie. Notably, Jabotinsky evoked religious terminology in rejecting the blending of socialism and Zionism as a type of shatnez, a cloth made of both wool and linen, prohibited by Jewish law. End quote. Thus, Jabotinsky, in the 1920s, set out to form a non-socialist Zionism, one that recognized the essential nature of cultivating Jewish self-defense. It may well be that of all the different parts of the movement created by Jabotinsky, it was the movement created for young men, Beitar, in 1923, that was most important. Its name, as everyone notes, combined two different references. And it bears mentioning that like Begin's speech in 1948, it was, therefore, a true tribute to Jewish memory, joining ancient past and recent events. Beitar, as we have already seen in Jerusalem 365, was the last fortress of the Bar Kokhba revolt to fall to the Romans. But Beitar also stood for Brit Yosef Trumpeldor, the covenant of Joseph Trumpeldor, marking how Jabotinsky, like Begin, connected the courage of warriors past and present. Beitar was dedicated to several principles, among them preparing young men to fight, learning military discipline, as well as to hadar, a word that, as Jabotinsky himself noted, was difficult to translate from the Hebrew, but perhaps we can define it as proud Jewish dignity. Numbering many tens of thousands at its height, in Europe and beyond, Beitar was joined in the 1920s by a teenager, the son of a Zionist family in Brisk, a young man named Menachem Begin. By the 1930s, Begin would assume the leadership of all of Beitar in Poland, setting the stage for him to ultimately become Jabotinsky's successor. As Beitar spread, few knew what was yet to come, and how many of the young men filling Beitar's ranks would be murdered, though, as we shall see, Jabotinsky himself bore a terrible and prescient foreboding of the danger that European Jewry was in. The seeds Jabotinsky planted would link past and present, dramatically impacting the future of the Holy Land, of the State of Israel, and of Jerusalem. We have sent you a link to a remarkable picture from the city in Eastern Europe known to Jews as Brisk, the city whose rabbis were the Soloveitchiks. The photo features a meeting of the leadership of the Jewish Bank in Brisk, and in the front row sit two of Brisk's most prominent Zionists. One is the father of Menachem Begin, and the other is the grandfather of Ariel Sharon, the families of two Israeli prime ministers in one Jewish community. It is a fascinating picture from the past, and it reflects and refracts the future, and it is a reminder of Begin's theme in his 1948 speech, that for the Jewish people, past and present are joined, and one inspiring organization can impact a people for years to come. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.